D. Grossman, representing TriMet. Your Honors, there are four issues to review. First issue is whether or not the last paragraph of the 839 patent meets plus function clause under 35 U.S.C. section 112, paragraph 6. Second issue is, if it is, then is the appropriate structure in the specification of the last element. Third issue is whether or not infringement does not occur until a surgeon uses the claim convention, the claim template. Fourth issue was the ending of discovery prematurely.
How does that affect the judgment that's before us? The last issue?
It doesn't.
Well, then how can we decide it? We can only review the judgment. We don't review random rulings that were made in the course of a case that don't affect the judgment.
Okay. And there's three issues to discuss today, Your Honor. It's fine. I'll start with the first issue, Your Honor, 35 U.S.C. section 1, paragraph 6.
Okay, can you help me with one thing?
Sure.
I noticed when I was preparing, if you look at
A445.
At the same time the claims were amended, the state of the specification was amended, and it seems to me that somebody dropped the ball, and the specification didn't get
it. Your Honor, yes, it did not get put into the specification, but those exact words did get put into the claim. This claim where it says amend the specification by adding these words after 10, those are the same words that were inserted into claim 11, which would be claim 1, page 445. So all of the words did not get inserted into the spec because, for whatever reason, they are in the specification, they are in the claim, which goes to our point that that structure that was supposed to go into the specification did in fact go into the claim. So the claim does have structure, the holes. Therefore, it's not a 112 paragraph 6 limitation, although it does have the word means. I don't know if that answered your
question. Yeah, it does answer my question. One of the things that also struck me about this is that some of the embodiments that are reflected in the specification really seem to have been precluded by the amendment. For example, embodiments which, as I understand it, prevent axial movement.
Well, the axial movement would be, you're talking about the embodiments that require the locking?
Yeah.
Okay. The axial movement in the claim will refer to the pin being inserted into the stable fragment across the fracture and, into the fragment, the fracture, across the fracture, into the stable fragment. That's the sliding time. Now, if it's locked thereafter, something about this, I don't know if that affects the sliding of the pin.
Well, my misunderstanding, if you look at column 5, line 29, it says this provides fixation of the pin in space in both a transverse plane, the plane of the plate, which is still the requirement, and an axial plane, which seems to say that at least this embodiment is preventing axial movement. Am I misunderstanding that?
I think it determines when the axial movement is occurring. That the axial movement we're referring to is during the insertion of the pin. It's okay, because the axial movement occurs, then it's locked. If we're talking about axial movement after the procedure, then it would cover.
But under the amended claim, it needs to allow axial movement after the pin's been put in, right? Because it says providing means for allowing the pin to slide axially.
And that's during the procedure, Your Honor.
Oh, it's during the procedure?
Yes, sir. That's the purpose of the invention, is that the pin is slid in to capture both fragments. There's no compression caused on the fragments as compared to the prior art, when the plate is placed on the fragments and then a screw comes down into the fragment and the screw is rotated to capture the fracture fragment.
Causes the compression.
Brings the fragment up, which causes the compression. By having
so after the insertion is locked to prevent
accident? Not locked, I hate to use the word lock, but there won't be actual compression because put a J-hook on the end of the pin and put the pin on top so the J-hook rests on the plane of the pin. So in all, with all practical purposes, it's locked. It's not going to move.
Okay.
Yes.
That helps.
Yes.
Is it the pin that is permitted to slide axially, or is it the bone fragment supported by the pin that is permitted to slide axially?
It's the pin, Your Honor. The pin is, you can do the procedure either way, but let's just take it this way. You screw the plate at the stable bone, the forearm, and then the plate will cross the fracture. And then the second end of the plate that is now on the distal part of the fracture, the proximal to the forearm, so the distal, the pin then slides through that hole that's in the plate, into the captured the fragment, crosses the fracture, and goes into the stable bone where it's secured and anchored in the stable bone. So it's the pin that slides. So when the pin slides, the capture, the fracture fragment, reverse the fracture, and secured in the stable bone fragment, that sliding does not cause the fragment to move at all, as compared to the prior art, which you use a big fat slice plate to bridge the fracture, and the screw, one screw goes into the stable bone fragment, and the other screw goes into the fracture fragment, and during rotation of that screw, the fragment to fragment migrates up against the plate, and that's the compression we're talking about. So it's the sliding of the pin that prevents the compression. So the holes is the structure that allows, the holes in the plate is a structure that allows the pin to slide axially. At the same time, those holes, the circumferential surface of the holes, prevents that pin from moving relative to the plane of the plate by having a boundary there, which is stabilizing the pin against movement relative to the plate. So the holes are the structure, and that's what's in the last paragraph. Causes structures in the last paragraph, even though it used the word means, the presumption of it being a means plus function claim is overcome. So it's not a means plus function element. And I'll move on to the next issue. Okay. However, if it is a means plus function element, the holes, which is in the specification also, it's column 5, lines 1 through 6, say that the holes is the structure that where the pins slide through. Third issue, which we're not going to discuss.
I think in your contention is that even if it is a means plus function claim, that one of the embodiments is described here at lines 24 and 25. One embodies pins of metal over the superficial surface of the plate stated above. Your contention is that that's what the accused device does, right?
Yes, Your Honor. Can I embellish on that a little bit?
Sure.
If in the patent, Your Honor, if the figure 5, which is the cover of the patent, so appendix page 27. And the pin goes through the stable bone, across the fracture, goes into the fractured bone and comes out, and it has a hook on it, the J-hook on it. That's the portion that Your Honor just read from the specification. And that's exactly what Spreaker does. If we look at an X-ray at appendix 347, Your Honors, and look at it, maybe turn 90 degrees is the best way to look at this. So you see the plate kind of looks like an S going on top of the wrist. And to the right side of the S are a couple of pins that go through the fractured fragment. There's a fracture about an inch down there that doesn't come across the good in the copies. And the pins continue down to the stable fragment. And then you see the screw on the left of that, about an inch and a half, the screwdriver on top of it. And if we compare that to what's in the cover of patent figure 5, it's virtually identical. You have two screws holding one end of the plate down. And you have a pin with going through both fragments with the J-hook on top of the pin, on top of the plate. So, right, so to answer your question, what the defendant does is in the embodiment, is embodied in the specification. I think that we're done with one, both paragraph 6, unless your honors have any questions on that issue. We won't talk about the discovery issue that's not for the court, it's not part of the judgment.
Well, yep. I assume that if we were to reverse, you might like some language in there that instructed the lower court to allow discovery to continue as it had previously been scheduled. Is that right?
Nothing would make me happy, to be honest.
Well, nothing except for reversal.
I didn't want to ask, I didn't want to be presumptuous, but in light of your question, Your Honor, yeah, 14 days would be wonderful. And then the other issue is whether or not infringement only occurs after the surgeon does, only while the surgeon is doing his operation. I think this is
the cross medical issue.
Yes. Yes, it is. And I think the way to claim
it. Gather that you're saying this is not the same case as cross medical. The claims are different. The claims don't call for structure that only exists, or a combination that only exists during the course of a surgical procedure.
Yes, Your Honor, that's right. They were actually rewritten in response to the office act, two office actions, so it would include that. So, I think that covers it all. If Your Honor, have any questions?
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll reserve the balance of your time.
Thank you.
Sure.
May it please the Court, Robert Sarem on behalf of Stryker Corporation. The District Court should affirm the District Court's grant of summary judgment of non-infringement in favor of Stryker.
So how do you deal with the fact that even if you're right that this is a means plus function claim, one of the embodiments that's described in the specification seems to be identical to the accused device?
Well, Judge, I'd answer that in two parts. First of all, it's our contention that there is no structure, there is no disclosure in this specification of a whole performing the claim functions of this means plus function limitation. And second of all, if we look at figure 5 in the patent, which I think was talked about during all of this, it shows the side view of a plate. It does not show the top view of a plate. It's Stryker's contention that in order that the structure disclosed in this specification for performing the two claim functions are a whole plus some other structure, such as a slot, a threaded pin, or
a pin. How about a pin?
Well, we don't believe that that's disclosed.
Well, it can't be disclosed. It's there in the picture, and it's described in part of the specification to which I'm referring.
Well, I think what we need to do is we need to go back to the prosecution history. And in the prosecution history, in order to obtain allowance, TriMed made two agreements with the patent office. First of all, they agreed to write the claim in means plus function format. And they also agreed to better define the holes. And in order to better, if a hole needed better defining, then they were adding some structure to it. And they added that structure through means plus function language. And when you go to the specification, and you look at the specification, the only structures that are disclosed for performing these two claim functions are a whole plus some other structure.
Do you agree that the arrangement depicted in Figure 5 is the same as the accused device?
No.
What's different about it?
Well, we can't tell from Figure 5 whether that's a hole, whether the pin's going through a hole, whether the pin's going through a hole.
Let's assume it's going through a hole, okay? Is that the same as the accused device?
Is that the same structure as the accused device?
Yeah.
Well, in some instances, a striker plate can be used with a bent pin, but that doesn't mean it's performing the claimed functions. There's no evidence on this record.
Just stay with me. In terms of the depiction,
okay,
and the device, assuming that Figure 5 is showing the bent pin going through a hole, Is there any difference between that structure and the structure of the accused device?
If that's just going through a hole,
yeah.
there's no other...
And the hole prevents movement across the plane.
Well, then you're judging, in essence, you're asking, well, if Stryker infringes, does it infringe?
So your answer is yes.
Well, no, because there's no...
If in fact, take figure five, assume it's going through a hole, you assume that the hole prevents movement over the face of the plane.
No, I can't agree with that.
No. You have to agree with that. It's part of the hypothetical.
Okay, so...
It's not optional.
So, I'm sorry. Okay. Let's start over with you.
If you assume that they were comparing figure five with the accused device, I'm asking you to assume hypothetically that figure five also shows a hole, and it shows a hole that prevents movement across the plane of the plate. Is there any difference between that structure in figure five and the accused device?
So we're assuming that the hole is preventing all displacement in the plane of the plate.
Right.
And we're assuming that the pin is preventing compression across the fracture.
Right.
I mean, so I guess I would have to admit it. I would have to agree, Judge, if you're saying if we infringe, then we infringe. I guess I don't understand the hypothetical to a certain extent. If you remove all embodiments, or if you remove all possibilities and say, well, if Stryker infringes, then they do it. Then they infringe. I'm not sure I understand the question.
Counsel, if...
Yes.
If we don't agree with you and the lower court about whether or not the last limitation was means plus function, suppose we say it's not means plus function because there's sufficient structure articulated therein, then it's irrelevant, according to our law, isn't it, whether those ultimate statements of function are met in the accused device. There's another assumption. Here, I've got to make you walk through my assumptions, but it's assuming that we disagree with you with regard to means plus function, the fact that Stryker's product may not perform these ultimate functions at the very end of claim one doesn't prevent infringement, does it?
Well, I would have to disagree with you. There has to be some, the claim calls for preventing compression across the fracture. And there would have to be some finding or some evidence that supports that Stryker's product actually does that. There also have to be some evidence that Stryker's plates prevent displacement in the plane of the plate. And there's no evidence in the record that would support that.
Whenever there is functional language in an apparatus claim and the functional language does not mean plus function language, but rather functional language incident to the other elements of the claim, that functional language doesn't need to be met in order for there to be infringement, does there?
Well, I would say in this instance, it has to be there.
Do you have any case precedent that would direct me to a case of ours in the past? Because off the top of my head, I think of titanium metal, in which it talked about the corrosive properties of the chemical composition, and the ultimate finding of the court was, well, the properties, the function of this don't have to be met as long as the structure was met, since it is in the composition claim. Are there cases to the contrary that you might want to direct me to that suggests that functional language like this is still a claim limitation that must be met even in an apparatus claim?
I don't have any evidence on that. So,
is there any reason why we shouldn't read figure five when it shows the plate one? Referring to the structure that's shown in figure one?
Well, I don't think there's, to be frank, Judge, the description of what's in figure five appears in column six of the patent. And it says in figure five a pin plate one, and pin plate one has holes and slots.
And it's shown in figure one?
Yes.
With holes?
And
but
slots.
Some of those holes don't have slots, some of them are just holes.
No, but I agree with you. But you can't tell where this pin is going. Is that pin going in a? Is that going in a, in a slot? Is that pin threaded? To say that, as Judge Dyke was saying earlier, is that identical to the Stryker product? There's too much ambiguity in the specification to be able to say that.
Well, that may be a reason why the other side wasn't entitled to summary judgment, but. you're trying to defend summary judgment in your favor. And did you put in evidence that the spiker plate didn't prevent compression?
Well, Judge.
No, just the answer.
Yes, we did.
You put in evidence that it didn't prevent compression.
It didn't prevent compression?
Question. Where do I find it?
Judge, I don't think we put in evidence, but I don't think we're required to put in evidence.
Did you put in evidence that the Spryker device didn't prevent moving across the face of the plate?
Well, we put in evidence that the Spryker products do not have the accused structure.
Well, that's not the question. The question is, did you put in evidence that it does not prevent movement across the front of the plate?
Well, but we weren't required to. As a movement on summary judgment, we have the ability to point to an absence of evidence. And these claims, properly interpreted, required a hole plus some other structure for performing the claim function. And the Spryker products only have holes. They don't have a hole plus another structure for performing the claim function.
But why do you say that it requires some other structure for performing this function? Why can't the hole itself perform this function?
Because in order to stabilize and displace in the plane of the plate, you have to lock it into place. And a hole by itself can't lock a pin in place. It needs some other structure, like what's disclosed in the patent, such as a thread, a slot. There's some other structure.
Or a pin with a J.
But when you go back to the prosecution history, if TriMet agreed to better define the holes, they made two agreements with the patent office. They agreed to write in a means plus function format and to better define the hole. And if a hole was enough, then the patent office wouldn't have required them to better define it. And how did they better define it? It had to mean that they had to add some structure to it. There's no...
So, but what's wrong with the structure of the plate? Even under your theory of the claim, you've got an embodiment which is described as involving a hole and a pin with a J.
Well, in essence, they disclaimed the ability to claim that when they agreed with the patent office to write the claim in means plus function format and to better define the hole.
How did they... I don't understand what you just said.
Well, let's go back to the prosecution history. After final rejection, they had an interview. And the question was, they had to distinguish between the pin plate attachment of the prior art versus what was claimed in the alleged invention. And they made two agreements with the patent office. They first of all agreed to write the claim in means plus function format. Secondly, they agreed to better define the holes. And when you go...
Well, how does that involve explaining the holes together with this J-hook pin?
Well, I think when you go to the specification, Judge, and you look at when it's talking about the J-hook, it's always being locked into place first in one of the structures that's disclosed for locking.
That's not the way I read it. It says specifically in one embodiment, there's this fixation in one embodiment that pins either bent over the superficial surface of the plate on the stated above.
And when you go to what's as stated above, it's being locked into place first into one of the structures other than a hole. Well, Judge, it appears in two places. In column 5, it's about line 6, it says, in one embodiment, the entrance slot 4 is slightly undersized and capable of widening as the pin passes through the slot. This way, the plate 1 will snap as the pin is passed into the slot. So you're using a hole plus another structure to lock the pin in place, and that prevents engagement, i.e. stabilizes the displacement of the pin in the plane of the plate. Once the plate is snapped over the pin is bent to further secure it. So the bending over to further secure it is only a secondary fixation It was first locked into place in a hole plus some other structure. And when you go to column 4, it says the rigidity of, this is column 4, line 56, the rigidity of pin fixation of the fracture fragment is considerably improved by having it pass through one of the small holes and possibly a tight slot thwart in the pin plate, which has been secured to the proximal fragment 10. After the pin 8 is placed, it can be bent over the superficial surface of the plate to keep it from migrating. But even in this instance, it's being put into a tight slot first. So in all the instances in this specification where it's talking about bending it over in that J-hook, it's being locked into a structure other than the hole first, a hole plus an undersized slot, a hole plus a slot. So there's no description here that just simply describes bending the plate over without locking it into a hole plus some other structure first.
So what I understand you're saying is if we delete the words that state the thought, you would use your whole case depends on the meaning that you just given with the words that state the thought.
I would say no, Judge.
No. How could... You're just saying that the pin arrangement was described earlier. I'm saying delete those words and just say in one embodiment, the pins are made over the superficial surface of the plate most, and stop there.
Because
that's
it's
a... That's a description of the accused device. There's nothing missing, is there?
Well, and I believe that's a description of the accused device. It doesn't talk about the size of the hole being used. It doesn't talk about the size of the pin being used. And more important, when what TriMet claims is performing the displacement in the plane of the plate is the circumferential surface of the hole. And that's nowhere to be found in the specification. This specification does not make a single mention, nor does the prosecution history make a single mention that the circumferential surface of the hole is what's preventing displacement in the plane of the plate. I see that I'm out of time.
But, counsel, even the language you pointed us to in column 4, line 58, the language you pointed, it passes through one of the small holes three and possibly a tight slot. Why doesn't the language that says A and possibly a slot mean that it could pass through a slot or could just go through the hole and the hole would be enough?
Well, I would suggest, Your Honor, that the proper way to read that is it's not suggesting that there's no slot. It's just suggesting that there possibly might be a tight slot. It's talking about the tightness of the slot.
But then again, at columns 5, 1, 3, it says, following right up on this same thing, it says the plate has distal holes through which the pin is passed. Additionally, these holes may or may not have slots.
And that's still consistent with our position.
But how come the may or may not have slots language isn't just sort of further elaborating on the possibly a tight slot?
Well, first of all, it appears in a different paragraph of the specification. And I think when you go to this section, first of all, it's talking about the general structure of the pin. It's also recognizing that not only could there be slots, but there could be other structures. That's what's described below.
No, not only can there be holes.
Well,
right?
These holes
there
may
are holes, but they may or may not have slots.
But it could have slots. It could have threaded pins. It could have studs. I see them a lot.
Thank you very much. Grossman? Did you hear anything that gave you pause?
Pardon me?
Did you hear anything that gave you pause or reason to recall?
Nothing, Your Honor. That could cover it all.
I didn't need to preempt your comments, but...
Your Honor's approach answered all four of my points. I was going to raise it in questioning, so it's just going to be repetitive.
All right. Thank you very much. The case is submitted. That concludes our session this afternoon.
All rise.